Part 27, Chapter 9. The emissaries were dragging Schleem off when Kwong, Sir Robert's Buddhist communicator, ran up to Johnny.
"Sir Robert asks me to tell you,"
whispered the boy,
"that there will be a sudden exodus in a moment, and not to be alarmed. They have been working it out in ops for the past half hour, and the orders are being issued this instant. There are hundreds of people trapped in shelters in Edinburgh. The tunnel corridors and entrances fell in under heavy bombs. They do not know how many are alive or anything else. He says it is like a caved-in mine. They are leaving in minutes, and he wants you to carry on here. If needed, he will come back."
Johnny felt like a cold hand had gripped his heart. Chrissy and Patty were part of that. If they still lived...
"I should go,"
said Johnny.
"No, no,"
said the boy, Kwong.
"Sir Robert said you would say that, Lord Johnny. They will do everything that can be done. He said to tell you he is leaving all this in your hands."
At that moment, pandemonium broke loose. Sir Robert raced out of the ops room. He had somewhere changed his clothes, and the gray cloak billowed as he donned it on the run.
"Goodbye, Lord Johnny,"
said Kwong, and raced away. Sir Robert was at the passage, waving his arm with an urgent swing.
"Come on!"
he bellowed.
"Come on!"
Doctors McKendrick and Allen sped out of the hospital area, shutting valises as they ran. Allen turned and shouted something at the nurse, and then sped on. The walking wounded hobbled and limped out, heading for the passage. Four pilots raced by. Guards who a moment before had been covering Schleem from pits were yelling to one another, and a soldier carrying several packs raced toward them, and then they were gone. A crowd of officers and communicators slammed out of ops and headed for the passage exit. Suddenly, Johnny was aware of the turmoil and commotion among the Chinese. Mothers were dumping babies and a screech of instructions at older daughters and then running to the exit. The Chinese men were snatching up bits and pieces from the personal baggage, shooing smaller children into the vicinity of the half-grown girls, yelling at each other to hurry. Dogs, snapped onto leashes that were pushed into the hands of young boys, set up a cacophony of barking and howling at being made to stay. A plane motor started up, then another. Three Scott pilots ran out of the ops room, getting into flight clothes and gripping maps. And all the time, Sir Robert was at the exit, shouting,
"Come on! Come on!"
From the open door of ops, Stormalong's voice was rising above the din.
"Victoria! Victoria! Damn it, man, keep your radios manned! Take every mind pump you've got, every atmosphere hose and pump, got that? I know it's in clear! All right!"
A woman communicator in there was taking over. She started to chatter Polly. Sir Robert was shouting at the delaying few.
"Damn it! Edinburgh is burning!"
A plane took off. Sir Robert was gone. Another plane, another, another, another. From the whip of sound, they were lancing up to hypersonic in seconds. Johnny wondered whether they were leaving any aircraft at all.